My dear children, this is your home. I've said that a number of times, haven't I? And I mean it, truly. This is your home. It always feels good whenever we come home. And whether you've been away for vacation or for college or whatever it is, there's always a sense of, it's good to be home again, right? I love the kind of spiritual sense, I guess I would say, that happens when I walk into the chapel. When I walk into our Blessment Chapel, I just know that there's a presence there, and it's like I'm entering into that presence. It's not a feeling as much as I know that Jesus is there in the chapel, and he's welcomed me into that place. It's a sense of coming home every time I go in. As we're getting ready, once again, talking about putting the tabernacle in the church in the upcoming week or two, when we place the tabernacle in the church here, our church will become more welcoming because Jesus' presence will be here like that, receiving you into this place. I want to assume like heaven's going to be something like this. When you get to heaven, Jesus is going to be there and he's going to welcome you into the Father's house. We mentioned that last week. This is meant to be an image, a sign for us, a symbol of the Father's house here, right? Imagine what it's going to be like to have Jesus right here. That's what I want you to do today, to really think about that, welcoming you into this place. John Paul II said that Jesus promised us in the end of Matthew, I will be with you to the end of time. He said we experienced that in so many different ways. We talked about all those ways last week, right? That's what we talked about. But in the Holy Eucharist, he said, we experience Jesus' presence in a wholly unique way. And he quotes the Second Vatican Council. They say, for the most holy Eucharist contains the church's entire spiritual wealth. Christ himself. I want you to really let that sink in today. What is so important about being in the presence of Jesus, coming to church, receiving communion? It's Christ himself. Nothing less than that. It's not just it's him. In 1996, Pope Francis was still a bishop. He was in Buenos Aires in Argentina. And that year, a priest in his diocese found a host that someone had left in the back on a candle stand. Now, whether they discarded it or just didn't eat it or someone had dropped it or whatever, the woman pointed it out to Father and he went and he took it. And it was dirty, so he didn't want to consume it himself. So what you do then is you put it in water, you dissolve it, and then you bury it outside. I've done this a number of times. And so he put that in the water and set it in the tabernacle and let it stay there. He came back a week later expecting it to be dissolved to take care of it. And instead, what he found was something that looked very bloody. It had changed. He was a little confused. He'd heard of Eucharistic miracles before, of course. He called up Bishop Bergoglio, who is now Pope Francis, and he said, what do I do? He said, well, I want you to have it professionally photographed and then keep it secret and leave it there. So he did. They left it there for 3 years, in fact. Didn't touch it. Nobody went in there. He came back after 3 years and had not decomposed at all. And so then Bergoglio thought, we better send this off to get it tested. But I don't want anybody to know what it is, to keep this whole thing, you know, really scientific, really true. And so they sent it to New York City. And there was a doctor there, Dr. Frederick Zugiba from Columbia University. He was a very well-known cardiologist and forensic pathologist of his day. And so he did these tests on it just like he did so many different times and so many different samples, right, of different blood, different things from crimes and stuff. And after his analyzing, he said, what this is, what the material you sent me is it's real human flesh and blood containing real human DNA. He said, and the material I analyzed is a fragment of heart muscle found in the wall of the left ventricle close to the valves. And it was inflamed, and it contained a large number of white blood cells, which means that when this sample was taken, the heart was actually still alive. Because white blood cells will die within minutes after someone dies. And the white blood cells had been penetrated into the tissue, which indicates that the heart had been under severe stress, as if the owner had been beaten severely around the chest. when they told him where this material came from, he wasn't Catholic, he couldn't understand it, he didn't believe it. That's impossible. But it was true. I thought it was very indicative too, like just that Jesus would do this miracle with a host that he had been discarded and set to the side. And maybe this person didn't believe in the Eucharist that set it there. It's a miracle proven by scientific fact to show us what the Eucharist really is. It's really himself. And specifically, it's his heart, you guys. It's the heart of Jesus that you receive and that welcomes you in the Eucharist. St. Paul said in our second reading, so then let us confidently approach him. Jesus said to St. Margaret Mary in the Sacred Heart devotion, he told her, he said, my divine heart is an abyss of joy. It's a well, abyss of joy in which you can immerse all of your sorrows. My heart is an abyss of lowliness, meek and humble, in which you can place all of your foolishness. My heart is an abyss of mercy, in which you can put all of your wretchedness. And it's an abyss of love that is there to meet your every need. This is the presence that will welcome you and welcomes you every time you step into this space. You know, the question comes, Father, doesn't all this focus on the Eucharist in some sense take away from the fact that Jesus is in each other? And the answer is no. Firstly, just if you look at the saints, they prove that that's not true. When St. Francis of Assisi was drawn more to Jesus, he became more attentive of others and less arrogant. He got off his horse and embraced and kissed the leper. When St. Mother Teresa became more focused on Jesus, she became more aware that Jesus was present in the poorest of the poor, right? That's the way it works. In fact, Pope Francis, he was talking to a bunch of bishops, and he told them, he says, be careful not to draw people's attention to yourself and just to your own ideas as bishops. I think it could be true for all of us, right? That when we simply focus on ourselves, he said, we actually run the danger when we just focus only on that human level. We run the danger of just staying at the human, the psychological, and the sociological level of church. That all church becomes just another social organization where maybe we come to feel good. He said, you must focus people on the Eucharist because the Eucharist is Jesus. I like the phrase he used. It's like the North Pole, you know, that draws us in the same direction. He said, the Eucharist, it's like a divine pole of attraction. That's what makes us the united body of Christ. That when we focus on him, the Eucharist actually makes us the church. Something that's on a deeper, a spiritual level. That it's an encounter with God. We had a spiritual director, he used to love to tell us, you are Jesus. He's so convinced of this truth that when we are baptized, when we receive the Eucharist, something amazing happens. When we focus on him here, we actually become Jesus. And he would look at us and he was so convinced of that reality. That's what happens in these sacraments. And he would look at us, he'd say, don't you know you are Jesus? That's who you are. That's what it means to be the mystical body of Christ. We actually become Jesus. He doesn't go into us and just pass out of us. He enters into us and changes us into himself. Jesus' heart in your heart. Jesus who said today in the gospel, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. That's meant to become us. We become Christ. We do not come here to be served or just to fill myself or to get something out. Jesus came to offer himself for us. When we get transformed and we become him, that's what we do when we come here. Jesus, I come here to offer my life to you. I come here to place my life at service of you, God. What do you want of my life today? I come here to place my life at service of those that you love and that you made your family. These people here, my brothers and sisters, your family at home, those who are poor, those who are your neighbors. I come in a real love and a charity. And what happens where you yourself can say the same thing Jesus said. When Jesus said, come to me and you have rest, you become that. You can turn to the people around you and you say, come to me. Come into this meek and humble heart and you will find rest in me. We become Jesus. That's what it means to be the body of Christ. When we become like that here, can you imagine what it will be like to walk into that presence and be welcomed into this space? That's what the church is. Many people have asked, they said, well, if putting a tabernacle in the space, just in our conversations in the last months, if others would then feel less welcomed here who are not Catholic. And again, the answer is no. Because in fact, what they will experience is Jesus welcoming them into this place. Whether they come with their family, whether they're here for a funeral or for a concert, even if they're not aware of it, they will be entered into the presence of Jesus. Even if we have to remove the Blessed Sacrament for some certain events and put it in the chapel, if we've done our work and we have become Jesus, then my prayer is that they will experience yet here, that they enter into his presence and they'll feel at home.